want to draw your attention this morning to, we have a new year. You and I have a bright future. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you and I have a bright future. We have heaven to look forward to, and we have Christ to serve if we don't get heaven this year. If the Lord doesn't take us home by death or by rapture, we get to serve him this year. So we have a bright future either way you look at it. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain, Paul said. And so I want to encourage you today to take a look at this upcoming year. Look at it and say, Lord, what can I do for you this year to make an eternal difference? How can I walk in your presence this year? And I want you to notice just a few things of being led of the Spirit. All of us in this room, we're going to follow somebody or something. We're going to follow dreams and goals, or you're going to be circling in life. In other words, you're not going to have any vision for your life, and you'll notice a clear vision. I want to encourage you to have a clear vision of the Spirit of God leading your life. Everybody in this room. Now, God has a perfect plan for everybody in this room. But you walk in his plan, it's a step at a time. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. So God wants you and I to follow him. But there's a couple things that have to happen. I want you to notice, if you would, in Galatians chapter 3. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 22. We are led by a schoolmaster to Christ. Notice, if you would, in verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's the purpose of the law. It's a schoolmaster. It teaches us that we're all guilty, that we cannot get to heaven on our own. And it's a fundamental issue to get someone to trust Christ as Savior. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 3. Notice Romans chapter 3. We're going to look at a couple of passages this morning. So I want you to take your Bible and use it this morning if you would. Romans chapter 3. Notice, for we know, this is verse 19. Romans 3, verse 19. For we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith them unto the law, and that's everyone, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. So the law is a schoolmaster that grabs us by the hand and leads us to Christ, leads us to someone that can help us get to heaven, because we cannot do it on our own. The law is a schoolmaster. Now, when we say that the law is a schoolmaster, it is to cause us to close our mouth and stop arguing with God and say, Lord, I'm a pretty good person. Lord, I haven't done that many bad things. Lord, John and Rick, they're much worse than I am. I'm better than they are. It stops us from comparing to other people. It stops us from committing sin and saying, I don't think it's all that bad. The law stops our mouths and says, look, you're guilty. It stops the mouth of everybody on the face of the earth. For all have sinned. So it grabs us by the hand, the law does, and brings us to Christ. Now, the Jewish people, they mistook it and misunderstood it. They said, okay, we're going to try to do everything the law says. And because no one can do it, we think God understands, so we're just going to try to do everything. And boy, they just made their lives filled with duty. We're not going to do this, we're not going to do that, we're not going to do this. So they missed the purpose of the law. Was a schoolmaster, it was a teacher to bring them to Christ. And so many times people look and say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments. The rich man in Scripture, the rich young man came running up to Christ, what must I do to get to heaven? And he said, well, you know, keep the law. And he said, well, I've done all that. Well, he hadn't done all that because he can't do all that. You know, thou shalt not covet. And he was the one tearing down his barns to build new barns. And so all of a sudden he says, well, you know, I've done all that. We don't keep the law to get to heaven. Notice, if you would, with me in verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. So he said, look, the law was never designed to get you to heaven. It was designed to close our mouths between arguing with God and saying, I think I can make it. So nobody in this room is good enough to get to heaven with your own deeds. Therefore, by the deeds of law shall no man be justified. So you understand today that you cannot take your life, no matter how good a person you are, and hold it up to the Lord and say, Lord, can I get to heaven today? Lord, am I good enough to get to heaven? He's going to say to every one of us, no, you're not, because you're a sinner. And we have to look at it, and the law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world guilty before God. Has your mouth been stopped and you've become guilty in your heart before the Lord and you've taken a moment of time and said, Lord, it's me. I'm guilty. I'm sorry. Notice, if you would, the wording in verse 20, that no flesh should be justified in his sight. You see, it doesn't matter anybody else's sight in the world to be justified in. Justified, a legal term in Scripture, made righteous. In other words, declared righteous, declared innocent. He said you can never be declared innocent by doing the works of the law. So notice verse 20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. When the Bible says thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's ass or thy neighbor anything that's thy neighbor's. How many of us in this room have seen somebody drive up in a new car and said, oh, man, that's a good looking car. I'd like to have one of those. Well, we just broke that ninth or tenth commandment. Whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after in his heart commit adultery already. Oh, we broke that commandment. Doesn't have to be physical things. It's just the desire for things. Understand this. Desire or lust, epithumos, is the word for desire that's too great. It may be something perfectly fine. I desire to be to have food, but if I desire to have great food or food that is better than everybody else's, all of a sudden it becomes, instead of a desire, becomes a lust. And God says, thereby we see the knowledge of sin. So everybody in this room, the law was given to bring us to Christ, grab a hold of our hands and bring us to Christ and say, you need someone to get rid of your sin. You're guilty. Take your Bible, turn back to Galatians, if you would. Notice, if you would, chapter 3, verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. In other words, the conclusion of the Old Testament law is everybody's guilty. Had concluded all under sin. So it's compared us to the law. It's brought us into trial. We've all failed. And he said the conclusion is we're all sinners. Now notice this, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So then Jesus Christ holds out this promise and said, I'll forgive you. I paid your debt of sin. Will you ask me for forgiveness? Will you trust me to be your Savior and to wash away your sin? And I will do it, because that's why I came, was to pay the ultimate price for your sin. Your debt is paid if you would ask me. Now, you understand today that if you've never trusted Christ, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. So God says, look, I want to save you, but the Old Testament law was a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ and say, here's the one that can forgive you of all your sin. But our mouths have to be stopped first, and we have to look at the Lord and say, I'm guilty. I'm sorry. You can't memorize the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, and say, I'm going to do those things and get to heaven. The law was not designed to get people to heaven. It was designed to bring the knowledge of sin. So today, as you look in this passage and the book of Galatians, it was written to these Jewish people that said, look, we're going to keep the law. We're going to do everything God has said and not to do, and everything God told us to do. We're going to do it all, and thereby we're going to get to heaven. We're going to take our deeds and weigh them out, and which one wins is going to get me to heaven. But I think I can make it to heaven on my own good deeds. And he says, stop it. You're guilty. The Jews to this day don't realize the Old Testament law is to bring the knowledge of sin. They think it's the path to heaven, but it's not. The scriptures clearly teach that. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 24, let's reread the text. Wherefore, as a result of the first three chapters, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So all of the Old Testament laws and thou shalt nots and thou shalt are designed to bring us to Christ. with the idea of we have a guilty soul and we cannot get there to ourselves. We need Jesus. That's what it's designed to. Now notice this, that we might be justified by faith, that we might come to Christ and say, Lord, I want to exercise my faith. I will trust you as Savior. Now, nobody in this room can get saved and get to heaven without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:1. So everybody in this room, you have to exercise faith. It only takes a little bit. Everybody in this room can be saved today. If you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, then I want to encourage you to come this morning. But you can't get to heaven by living right. Notice, if you would, take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 2. Look with me, if you would, verse 16. Knowing, Galatians 2:16, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not of works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. He said it three times in there. By the works of the law, you can't be declared righteous and eligible for heaven. So everybody in this room, the law is a schoolmaster to lead us unto Christ. Have you been led to Christ? If you haven't, today's the best day to take care of that. Now, notice the second thing is, he lets us select the pathway to walk. Look, if you would, in Galatians, if you would take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 16. So first we're led by a schoolmaster to Christ, and then he lets us select our own way. Notice, if you would, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he said, look, I'm going to give you a choice. You can walk in the lust of the flesh. You can walk in the way of the world. You can walk like everybody else. The other day, it was this morning, I was reading a little article, and I read about one of the UFC fighters that had a bout, and one of them had said, you know, God willing, this is going to happen. Or God willing, I'll get this this bout, or God willing, I'll get that. And then he uses a four-letter word right after that. It's like, wait a minute, you don't understand. You can't be led of the Spirit and live in the flesh. They don't go together. A Christian, once he's trusted Christ and put his faith and trust in Christ, watch this. You put your faith and trust in Christ, you kneel down before him and say, Lord, I surrender, I'm guilty, will you forgive me of my sin? And then he does, and he said, will you walk with me? Will you be led of the Spirit? The Spirit of God does not know a four-letter word. The Spirit of God does not know lust. The Spirit of God will not lead one person in this room in the way of the world. So you and I have a choice to make, the broad way or the narrow way. Am I going to learn to walk with Christ? He's going to let you make that decision. Do you understand today that we have Christian liberty? Look, if you have Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Now I want to address this very quickly. I just want you to see this. Verse 1, Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You know what he's saying? Look, stand fast in the liberty that Christ has given us. The liberty that our debt is paid. The freedom that you have been forgiven of your sin. And now you're free to live in the light of Christ. You're free to be led of the Spirit. Christ does not look at you and say, look, you have to walk the way I tell you. If you don't, I'm going to just take you to heaven. Or I'm going to kill you. He said, look, I want you to learn to let the Holy Spirit lead you so that people in the world can see that I'm a worthy God to serve. I want you to love me enough so that your life changes and is in my image. I'm going to let you make the choice of which way to walk. That's Christian liberty. It's the liberty that we have. But we don't get the choice of saying, look, then that means I can do what's wrong, whatever I want to do, and it's okay. No. Christian liberty is the privilege of choosing to serve Christ because you love him. It's the privilege of being able to let your light so shine in the midst of a dark place. And everybody in this room, this new year, you've got 2020. Let's get a clear vision of what God wants for us. And he wants for us to be led of the Spirit. Now, let me just break that down for a minute. One, I'm facing a decision. What am I going to do? Well, everybody in this room has what's called the flesh. And the flesh always has an opinion. And it's always wrong. But it makes us feel good. So when we have a decision to make, somebody says something about us, we have a decision to make on how we're going to respond with it. They're at work. Maybe somebody, there's a project going on. A lot of people in here are government workers, and so there's a project going on, and the project maybe is not going the way it should be. And there's usually a couple people that are not towing their weight, and so you know they blame somebody else that is towing their weight. And so now that person's got a decision to make. Am I going to blame them back? Am I going to get bitter about it? And so this battle goes on. What am I supposed to do? We're supposed to be led of the Spirit. Well, my flesh wants to tell the boss it's their fault. But the Spirit says, look, do what is right and carry a sweet spirit and let the Lord take care of it. And maybe tell your boss, look, can I do this? Can I do that? Handle it in a spiritual way. And so all of us in this room, when we come to a decision, how am I supposed to handle this? We go to the Spirit and we say, Lord Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, will you guide me into all truth? Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to John chapter 17. The book of John. John, if you would. Notice if you would, John 16. Notice if you would, John chapter 16. Look at verse 7. In verse 6, he said, I'm going home, I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to stick around. And the hearts of the disciples were just brokenhearted. You're not going to be here and help us? You're not going to be here and us change the world? He said, no, but he said, notice verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. So he said, look, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. And notice verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. So he said, look, I want you to learn to trust the Holy Spirit. I want you, when it comes to a decision in life, you say, dear Holy Spirit, what should I do? And you lay the choice on the altar for him, whether it's a choice of words or the choice of attitude. Always say, Lord, I want to be led of the Spirit. Lord, I want you to guide my steps. The Holy Spirit, look, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart. And he fills up your heart. And he will guide you into all truth. But you have to listen. You can't just keep going like you always have, because the flesh is powerful. And it will overpower the Holy Spirit. The sweet Holy Spirit is not going to come in and say, okay, now I'm taking over your heart. Now I'm going to tell you what to do. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit. Every wife in this room has got to yield to the Holy Spirit. Every man in this room has got to yield to the Holy Spirit, or you cannot walk in the way of the Lord. You have to yield your temper. You have to yield your attitude. Your children have to yield their spirits. And folks, that's the way we begin to walk in the Spirit of God. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and turn back to Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I want to take just a minute. If we live in the Spirit. Now, what that means is, as we go through life, we're always regularly, day by day, hour by hour, saying, the Holy Spirit, guide me today that I might have the right attitude when I get to work. Lord, guide me today that I have the right attitude at school, if we're a teenager or in school. Lord, give me the right attitude when I'm at home, when I get home with my husband or my wife. Lord, give me the right attitude. Be led of the Spirit. And then you can walk right. But the key to it is your heart makes the decision, I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be a great Christian. I have a clear vision that I want to make this year the greatest year of my life spiritually. Folks, everybody in this room has got financial goals. I mean, we've got personal goals. I'd like to have this or that or whatever it might be, a new car. You know, I want to go buy this or I want to go buy that. I want my place of work. I'd like to get in that position and make so much money. But what are our spiritual dreams? I mean, where is it that you want to have a clear vision of what God wants for you? So you come to the Holy Spirit and say, you lead me. I know you want to guide me. I'll leave the decisions to you. And we begin to pray about things, and the Holy Spirit gives us peace about each direction and each step to take. And our lives become filled with joy because we're in the will of God. Have you done that? Have you been led to Christ by the schoolmaster of the Old Testament law? And he lets us make the decision. Have you made the decision? I want to serve the Lord. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit. Because then the third thing is we learn from the Spirit how to walk. We learn from the Spirit how to walk. Now, I want to take just a minute, and I'm going to go over three words in the original text here so that we can see what it means to walk in Christ. I want you to notice, we look back at the law and say, I'm free from that. Now I can live the way I think Christ wants me to live. That means I can be sweet to my husband no matter what. How many husbands have ever come home from work in sort of a foul mood? Don't raise your hand. Okay? We're not led of the Spirit when that happens. So we have to come someplace between work and home in that vehicle and say, Dear Holy Spirit, I want to yield to you my heart. I want you to lead me in the right attitude and the right spirit. Everybody in this room, if you're going to be a great Christian with a clear vision, learn to follow the Lord. Let it make a difference in your life. Let this be the year that you become in Christ's image, that you're different, that your children say, man, I want to be like Dad. I want to be like Mom. Folks, the Bible says in the Old Testament, God sought for a man and found none. I think God is looking for men and women today to be led of the Spirit, and he's not finding many. Today, 2020, let's get a vision. Lord, could you use me? Lord, could I be the testimony you want me to be? I want to be led of the Spirit. Now, notice if you would, I'm going to have to say, Lord, I do want to yield myself to you. And then he helps us to walk in the right way. Now, I want you to notice this. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14. This is Paul speaking about Peter. Now, Peter got caught up with a Jewish mindset. He sort of separated from the Christians that were there and sort of kind of got into a little bit of the law and living according to the law. And notice, if you would, in verse number 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Now, what you notice, he says, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, as not to do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So understand, Peter is saying, look, everybody needs to live like the Jews. We gotten saved, but let's do the right thing. Let's live the way we want. Let's live the way we want, but we've got to live according to the law. Now, do you understand today that Peter got caught up in this mindset? He got caught up with the wrong attitude. And so Paul says, look, you're not walking right. Now, I want you to notice this word, if you would, in verse 14. When I saw that they walked not uprightly. I walked not uprightly. You know what that means? How many of you know what ortho means? You know, ortho is straight. This is orthopedal. It is to walk straight. One of the first things we have to do is learn to walk straight according to God's word. It also means to walk uprightly. It's to take the words of God and say, I'm going to use them as my guide. I'm going to use them as the guide into all truth. Whatever the Bible says, that's what I'm going to do. So if the Bible says I'm not supposed to lie, then I'm not going to lie. I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit touches my heart and say, now, Dave, I wouldn't say that because it's not all the truth. Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. And we'll learn to walk straight. How many of you heard of the half-truth? There's no such thing. It's either lie or it's truth. There's no half-truth. It's not, I mean, you know, you got half and half. Now, I don't know what that is, but I've seen you put it in your coffee and it's half this and half that. Look, I don't want half and half of anything. I want all of something or nothing of something, but I don't want half and half. I mean, that's like, I don't know, that's like putting one foot on an escalator going this way, one foot on a solid ground. Pretty soon you're going to be in big trouble. And so I look at it and I see this passage. It says, look, I want, Lord, to be in 100% truth. Dear Holy Spirit, will you guide me into that? He says, yes, I will. He'll guide us where our steps are straight. You know, ortho means straight. And that's this word. You walked not uprightly. You didn't walk straight. So it's possible for us to not listen to the word of God and veer off course. I remember years and years ago, I was snow skiing in Colorado, and I was coming down the mountain, and I saw this little path to the left of the big slope. And I said, you know, well, that looks pretty cool. And so I took that path. Now I was going pretty quick. And you know, I'm going down the path here, but I didn't check it out. You know what I'm saying? I didn't take a few minutes and look, because there's no obstructions on the big paths. They clear those. You know that. But I said, well, you know, that looks pretty interesting. Take that little path there. And it was just a place for just your skis going. And so I'm kind of going down through there. And pretty soon, it goes down further and you're starting to go pretty quick. And pretty soon, I see this log about knee high all the way across the path. And I said, uh-oh. And I'm going fast. And I said, what am I going to do? So I just laid down, slid right underneath that log. I said, you know, if I'd have been in the right path, I'd have never had that happen to me. And I think there's a lot of times we as Christians, we say, oh, that path looks pretty good. And we get on that path, and pretty soon we come to a complete roadblock. And we have to make a decision. What am I going to do? And we wreck. It wrecks us spiritually because we don't take the path that God intended for us. But that little other path just looks so enticing. You know, nobody's taking that path. That looks cool. You know, the snow was freshly fallen. I said, that's pretty good. Not like everybody else on this path. And, you know, I'm going to try that. Remember, the Holy Spirit says, I will lead you into all truth. If you want to know if it's right to love your husband or to love your wife, look in the scriptures and it says, men, love your wives like Christ loved you. Now, nobody in this room can do that. But we can flat try. And the Holy Spirit can teach us how to be great husbands. But there's got to be some of you say, Lord, lead me into the truth of being a godly husband. Where are those men? Where are the women that say, Lord, lead me into the truth of being a great wife, no matter what anybody else happens or anything else does, Lord, help me to be a great wife. Help me to be a great teenager. Help me to be a great son or daughter. Folks, the Lord is looking for people that will be led of the Spirit and will take the word of God and walk right according to it. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 4 very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what he says. Verse 29, Ephesians 4:29. Now, these are not Old Testament laws that you do to get to heaven. These are New Testament principles by the Word of God to teach us how to shine brightly in the image of Christ. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So there go the four-letter words. Now, there go the sarcastic words, the bitter words, but that which is good to the use of edifying. So you're always supposed to try to be building people up. Well, how can you be sarcastic in building people up? How can you be mean-spirited and build people up? All of us, from time to time, we get frustrated and we say things. But he said, look, you're not being led of the Spirit. And notice, if you would, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Are we being gracious to those people that are listening to us? Now notice in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, which by you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by saying, look, I'm not listening to you, or I'm too busy to listen to you, or I didn't hear you. Notice, if you would, let all bitterness, verse 31, and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, an evil intent, and be a kind one to another. So he's giving us the recipes, the ingredients that go into a spirit-led Christian. Do you have these ingredients? Notice verse 32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. So we're supposed to be the most forgiving people on the face of the earth. Are we? If we're led of the Spirit, we're walking straight. We're forgiving everybody. We're kind to everybody. We're learning to build people with our tongues. We're walking straight. Now watch what he says in verse 1 of chapter 5. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Follow the image of Christ. And notice verse 2. And here it is. Walk in love. Now, this word to walk is peripateo. It is walking and making progress. It is the walk of the Christian that is getting close to his vision. It's not just you're walking straight. You're comparing your words to Scripture. You're comparing your attitude to Scripture. But he says, I want you to walk in love. I want you to have the motivation to say, Lord, I'm going to walk this way because I love you. And God says, wow, now turn around and look back. And you're so close to the dream that you had to be like Christ. You're making progress. That's this word, walking in progress. Are you making progress in your Christian life? Folks, that's what I want for you this year. I want every one of you in this room this year to be a better Christian by far than you were last year. Peripateo. Look around and make progress in your walk. Oh yeah, we learn to walk like this, be very careful because we're walking according to the Scriptures, but there's a point in time when doing what's right becomes habit. You know what's right. You don't have to think about it. Do you know what the difference is between a rookie quarterback in the NFL and an experienced quarterback in the NFL? Or a rookie linebacker or a rookie running back, a rookie anything? It's they're doing it for the first time. They're having to think about it. And so they play a little bit slower. Which way? Which way? But once they get a little experience, they don't think about it. They just do it. So he said, look, I want you to learn to walk straight without thinking about it. Because I know I'm supposed to tell the truth. I know I'm supposed to be gracious. I know I'm supposed to be forgiving. And so you become in the image of Christ. And then as you turn around and look back, Lord, I'm doing it because I love you. Walk in love. Now notice, if you would, if you see that passage, look, he says in verse number 2, Ephesians 5, 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. It's an unconditional love. Are you walking like that? Notice, if you would, what he says, and hath given himself for us. Learn to walk by giving yourself to him. Lord, I want to walk and make progress this year. I want to walk straight without thinking about it. Could you do that? Do you know enough of Scripture that you know what straight means? It means no bitterness. It means edifying one another with your words. No corrupt communication. You can never tell another dirty joke or use a four-letter word if you're going to walk straight. Now listen to me. I don't care if it is the most respected spiritual person you've ever seen, and they tell a dirty joke or they use a four-letter word, they're not what you thought. Because a Christian that walks right walks according to this book. That's straight. And over a period of time, they learn to have a sweetness of speech that builds people up, and it's natural. It's spiritual. Their nature changes from the flesh to the spiritual. That's what it means to be led of the Spirit. And so this year, I want you to be able to learn to be led of the Spirit, and it becomes natural. This is the 50th anniversary of the Larry Owens, Dan Gable wrestling match. Anybody know anything about that? Anybody? How many of you ever heard of Dan Gable? How many have heard of Larry Owens? So I thought, one person. Dan Gable started out wrestling in the ninth grade. He never lost in the ninth grade. He won a state title. The 10th grade, he never lost. He won a state title. The 11th grade, he never lost. The 12th grade, he never lost. His freshman year, he couldn't wrestle in college, but he practiced. His sophomore year, he never lost. His junior year, he never lost. His senior year, he never lost. He got to the finals. But there was this one guy named Larry Owens. He kept getting beat by Dan Gable. So he weighed 150. Dan Gable was 138. And Dan Gable comes to the final match of his year. He's 181-0. Never lost. Didn't know what the feeling was to lose. He outworked everybody else. Well, Larry Owens says, I can work just as hard as him. For one match, I got to beat him. So he dropped weight, 12 pounds, to have a head-on collision with the greatest wrestler in the history that we've ever seen. Only Dan Gable is not paying attention. He's hearing the accolades. He's not working the same diligence that Larry Owens is. Larry Owens is running and running. He ran several miles in the last mile. Each mile would run in 6 minutes, and then he would run the last quarter mile in a certain time. I mean, he was killing himself for one match. He said, I didn't care to win a national title. And that year, he's 31-1. And he comes up to Dan Gable in the national championship, and it's Dan Gable's senior year, and nobody thought he had a chance. But he had told his coach, I want to beat Dan Gable. And Dan Gable heard that. He said, the audacity. I've never lost. I watched it again last night, the whole match. Dan Gable's up 10-9 with something like 20-something seconds left. All he has to do is just run around the mat, and he goes undefeated. But he gets a little bit proud, and he said, I think I can get one more takedown. And he gets tied up with Larry Owens, and Larry Owens is desperate. He's got 29 seconds left. I'm down one. So he tries a move he's never tried before. And Dan Gable had never seen it. And it worked. And he reversed him. And Dan Gable looks up, and there's 13 seconds left. And Larry Owens is up 13-11. And he said, he can't beat me now. And when the match was over, they took their two hands and brought them into the center circle. Dan Gable cried like a baby. Because he knew he had gotten fairly beaten, because he didn't prepare his best. Now, at that point, he had two choices. He could say, I failed. Or he could get up and say, that's not going to define me. 50 years later, he said, it still haunts me that I got beat that night. But he said, I'm going to go work. He wrestled Larry Owens for the right to be in the Olympic Games. Larry Owens got beat 7-1. That's the only point Dan Gable gave up the rest of his life. He won the Olympic gold medal, and because of his desire to win, being so great, to change, we won more gold medals that year as Americans than we've ever won. No close, not even close after that, because one man said, I'm going to be different. God is looking for Christians that would say, I don't want to lose again. Once is enough. Now, you may fall into sin. You may fall into a bad attitude once. Have the attitude, not again. Be led of the Spirit. Get a clear vision for this year. Would you do something wonderful for Jesus Christ this year? Be led of the Spirit and walk and make progress. At the end of December, turn and look back and say, wow, Lord, thank you for all the progress that you've let me make. I can do what is right and it's much more natural. That's what God's looking for today. Will you do it? Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe you're here today. How are you walking? Are you walking right? Have you never trusted Christ as Savior? Why don't you come this morning? Let him lead you, the Old Testament law to Christ. Lord Jesus, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Lord, we need you. Give us some Christians that are willing to say, I don't want to lose again. I don't want to get bitter again. Lord, I don't want to fall into that sin again. By your grace, help it to become natural to do what's right. Lord, speak to our hearts. In your name I pray. Amen.